don't feel great.
Why not?
Because Matt McMahon is not the coach of the Murray State Racers anymore. This is Edward Marlowe. This is the For Those Who Inquired podcast. It's tough to bury the lead, Neil. It's tough to bury the lead. After 7 years, Murray State men's basketball coach Matt McMahon is bound for the SEC and LSU. Totally deserved. We'll get to that discussion in quite some time. I think we need to lead up to that first with what was a great trip to Indianapolis. Neil, how was your trip to Indy?
Well, it was very good. First of all, it was a bus trip, but we travel on the bus all the time, so it's the same folks for the most part. Only difference was some of the families, wives and kids were along. Tim Kaine drove up with his family. I think we had a few more that drove up, but we had a big time. Enjoyed the ride up. It was uneventful. Really no issue at all. Got there, great hotel. Food was great. The Indianapolis atmosphere, what a really nice city to have that event in. It was really good. The people were so welcoming. The arena was fabulous. I'm not a picture guy, but it seemed well lit for what I do.
It was gorgeous.
Everything, it's a pro arena, and it was a pro accommodations. I just couldn't imagine being at a better spot. And I've been to a lot of places. I've been to 13 NCAA tournaments, and this is as nice in terms of facilities and hotel and all that as I've ever seen. And won a game, had a chance to get to the Sweet 16. That didn't work out, but got to see this incredible team play two more times and really got to enjoy it.
Murray State men's basketball finishes its season at 31-3. You could kind of feel, obviously, a little bit of a letdown in the final 4 minutes, and especially from Matt McMahon and some of the guys after the game, just in the conversations. We'll get to St. Peter's in just a moment. Do want to break down these two games just a little bit, even though it is kind of the post-mortem situation where the season is over. You're still one of only three teams with 30 wins or more. That'll change, potentially as we get closer to the Final Four and declaring a national champion. But Arizona, South Dakota State, and Murray State were the only teams with 30 wins or more going into the NCAA tournament, and there's nothing you can take away from that.
And you will also tie for the longest winning streak in the nation. There's no one that can get close to that, right? I think it's in the low teens or something.
Correct.
Right now.
Yeah.
So that can't happen. You're going to tie South Dakota State at 21.
Yep.
With that, had a chance to break it, but those are some amazing accomplishments. And I don't know where the final poll will end, but to be ranked as long as this team has been ranked, it's really been a tremendous year.
We talk about Thursday. Before we get to McMahon, I want to give due diligence to these two games. You've got a 10-seeded San Francisco Dons. You and I talked a lot about them prior to the game, leading into Indianapolis, and Murray State is up 69-60. Transition three, I believe, from Tevin Brown on what was a turnover for San Francisco. And then San Francisco, a young man by the name of, and I say young, he's one of their veteran seniors, but a young man by the name of, I think you and I talked about him a little bit, get to know him, is Jamari Bouye. And he was really freaking good in the game. The Racers held him to... quote, held him to 4-for-12 from three, but he hit a massive three over Trey Hannibal to tie the game and send it to overtime. Finished with 36 points, was absolutely dominant and willed them to nearly a victory. And then you go into overtime, and Murray State goes 7-of-9 from the field to win the game in overtime. They simply snatched it away. It was basket, 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 back and forth. Just somebody had to win that game, and it was Murray. And I think the biggest basket of that game, Neil, was of all the places that could have came from, it was Jordan Skipper Brown's offensive putback to put them up two possessions in overtime. Wild.
I was so happy for Skip to have the kind of game that he had. It was just fun. He had to endure the injury. It had some really brilliant moments.
Yeah. But had been out a month.
To have a double-double, his last double-double had come with Austin Peay in February of the year before. So he had not had one for Murray State, picked a great time for that, but just did so many great things offensively and defensively. And it was a joy. The putback was awesome, but he played a big role. They're not without him, and obviously Hannibal, who led the team in scoring, they're not winning that game. I mean, the bench was paramount in winning that.
Paramount's a great word for it. You had 36 points off the bench, 18 from Trey Hannibal, 12 and 10, again, the double-double from Skipper Brown. He was 8 for 12 from the free throw line, and you had five guys in double figures. I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from how good Justice Hill, Juice Hill was, Tevin Brown, KJ Williams, but you had that balance that you were looking for. San Francisco decided that they wanted to turn it into a foul game, especially late. Racers shot 70%, 69%, excuse me, from the free throw line, 48% from the field. They limited turnovers. About the only guy that had turnover issues is Juice, and he still had 9 assists. Racers had 17 assists to 12 turnovers, and out-rebounded San Francisco 43-35. I mean, it was absolutely critical, and you needed every single point from the bench to offset how good their bench was. Zane Meeks, 13 points. Rich Wayne, 8. And Mark Avetsky had another 2 and 3 rebounds, so their bench was pretty effective as well. And it lived up to the hype. Everybody thought we were going to get a buzzer beater, mathematically, and we almost did. And then the Racers won by 5, 92-87, in what was, I think a lot of people said over and over again, was maybe the best first game of the tournament.
It was a great game. Johan Basalski, their big man, didn't play, but they knew he wasn't going to.
Right.
They knew the whole week because he had gotten hurt in practice earlier. So they were able to prepare for that. And I think their plan was let's shoot a bunch of threes, hope somebody gets hot. They shot a bunch of threes. Somebody got hot. But, I mean, he got hot at threes. He got hot driving inside and hitting layups. And Bouye was just fabulous. But
He's a pro.
But the race, I agree. The Racers were also down a starter 2 minutes in when Carter Collins rolled his ankle. So he was out. The Racers had no time to prepare for that. So it kind of upset the timing of the rotation a bit. Carter's a tremendous defender, so they were down could he have stopped Bouye? I have no idea. No one else did, but we have no idea whether he could have. But it was certainly difficult to be down. So that kind of evened it out for each team.
Right.
They were down a big man. We were down one of the guards, and it was a tremendous game. And we had just gotten through having an overtime game, and then we have another one. And what a heck of a night of basketball for everybody in that arena.
Oh, yeah.
To watch those two games in terms of your true basketball fans. In terms of outcome, it maybe didn't go as well as most of the fans wanted to, but just a great game. Big plays for the Racers throughout the night. Daquan Smith making one of those. I mean, just everyone that they brought in off the bench made some sort of a positive contribution. And eventually you got your usual contributions for the most part from KJ and Tevin offensively and Juice Hill.
Yeah, Nick McMullen had to play 6 minutes, and Deontay Bostic had to play 8 because of some early foul trouble with the guards. Tevin, out of sorts. I say out of sorts. He had 2 fouls in the first 4 minutes, set the next 11, 12, and then brought him in for the final 90 seconds, which proved pretty pivotal because he ended up having a score and then that insane outlet pass to Jordan Skipper Brown. We move forward. You talk about overtime, and you get to Saturday, and you find out that Carter Collins can't play. Don't know if it doesn't matter. It didn't happen. I hated it for Carter Collins. He had played all season long. And gets to the NCAA tournament and gets to play 90 seconds, 2 minutes at most. And you think you're going to get Murray State in UK just based on seed line. The history is going to happen. Indianapolis, the perfect setting for it. NCAA sets the table.
Both fan bases are just chomping at it. Like, let's make it happen. Let's do it.
Yeah. And let's then the St. Peter's Peacocks pissed all over that. I don't have another way to say it. I mean, I could say some other inappropriate words. But they just did. They came in and played superb basketball against Kentucky. Kentucky's guard play looked very generic, I think, at times. St. Peter's defense, you watched that entire game up close and personal. I saw it on TV. Very physical, very, I don't even want to say junk it up. They run some terrific offense.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mind fouling. Don't mind making things uncomfortable in the half court. And won that game in overtime thanks to some big shots from Doug Eddard. We'll get to him in a little bit. You had Daryl Banks have the game of his life, and you had Casey and Defo be terrific, and a lot of other role players as well. And then you push that into Saturday. Murray State, the 7 seed. St. Peter's is the 15 seed. Murray was a 9-point favorite and just never could get the lead. Didn't get the lead. It was a wire-to-wire win for St. Peter's.
In the Kentucky game, I mean, I watched virtually the whole game. We had to go on the air eventually and give an occasional score on a game that we're not allowed to do play-by-play for. That was really difficult.
I'm sure.
But we're not allowed to. But other than the last few minutes we saw all that, didn't see a lot of sense of urgency from Kentucky. Kind of surprised there. I thought, all right, they're getting ready to dial it up here, and it's going to be over quick. Never happened. The team that dialed it up was St. Peter's. So once that game ended, you know, I'm thinking, all right, if we can beat San Francisco, it's not going to be easy to get to the Sweet 16. This seems really good. I try to warn people, go ahead and pencil them in to the Sweet 16, because this is a really good team defensively. We'll have to hope to, you know, shut them down offensively a little bit and limit the back doors. It ate up Kentucky. Turned out it ate up Murray State. They gave up, I think, a total of 7 of those.
Yeah.
Pivotal in the game. And for the first time Saturday, the Racers did not start the same starting lineup. You know, Carter Collins, as you mentioned, was out.
Right.
I think that I'm not using that as an excuse. I don't think it was, but it certainly did upset the rotation plans a bit. Also, without an extra defender, who knows if it would have made any difference at all, because St. Peter's was terrific.
They were.
And certainly deserved the win. They played better. It was just one of those games that KJ didn't have his best game. You have to give credit to St. Peter's a lot for that. And we just never could get that one other guy going besides Juice Hill, who was making the threes for the Racers. We needed one more offensive player, and we just didn't have it. And credit St. Peter's for that. Just really not much we could do about it.
The one thing that I will say, the Racers were 8-for-20 from three before the final 2 minutes. They had to chuck up threes for prayers, and that did not go well. Tevin Brown, Juice Hill. Tevin was held to 5-for-17 from the field. Of his 17 shots, 10 were threes. And I'd say at least half of those were open. Made some big ones. And this is a game that I know stings. It's one that you and I could break down quite a bit. Here's the thing. The Racers held St. Peter's a lot of good things. They held St. Peter's to 3-for-13 from three, which Kentucky did not. Held them to 41% from the field, which Kentucky did not. They shot 50% plus against. You played really, really well defensively at times. You came away with 8 steals, 4 from Trey Hannibal, 3 from Juice. You know, Trey was really good in the starting lineup. 10 points, 8 rebounds. And we'll get to rebounds in a minute because Trey Hannibal was your leading rebounder. And you had 7 blocks. You only turned the ball over 12 times. So there were some really, really good things. Some tough missed free throws. You made 64%. Not great, little below your average, and some key misses in the second half. And then this is where two stats stick out to me more than anything. The rebounding total, St. Peter's out-rebounded you 38-31, tied you in offensive rebounding, which offensive rebounding is something they're pretty good at, and two-point defense. And you and I talked about, it in my preview of the double bracket, the four teams that can meet up. Their two-point defense and their three-point defense is some of the best in the country. Their all-around 27-foot defense from arc to basket is some of the best in the country, regardless of the fact that they played in the Metro Atlantic, which, by the way, is a good conference. So the Racers shot 35% from the field, and that's not included. They barely shot better from the field than they did from three. That means from two, they went 10-for-28. And that's not good.
No.
Yeah, that's not good at all. And that is the two-point defense is what really won the game for St. Peter's. I know the physicality was a question. I know a lot of people were just like, well, St. Peter's got to play their game. The one thing that I have said time and again going into this double, these four teams that were, you know, playing against each other for the bid of the Sweet 16 is that St. Peter's averaged 19 fouls a game. Averaged. They were used to this. And you and I talked about this pre-show and going into the tournament, Neil. St. Peter's, that's what they do. They weren't. This wasn't an accident. This wasn't we'll just try to squeak by and foul and hope for the best. Mm-hmm. That's their game plan. They're going to play physical. I don't necessarily think they played tougher in a sense of like Murray didn't have the will or Murray didn't have the heart, because you take a look at the last 10 minutes of that game and that was just an absolute dogfight. And every shot they had an answer. Particularly, I thought the biggest answer is when Juice hit the three to cut it to 59-57 and Doug Eddard made the three on the corner right there at the right elbow and then hit the layup, which was another one of those backdoor cuts, and that put him back up seven. And you couldn't win.
Yeah. Yeah. Eddard, by the way, he, to me, I said it against Kentucky when he was out there practicing at the warmups. It's like, this guy probably doesn't play much, does he? And I looked down, I'm like, oh, they bring you off the bench. Eddard, I said, he looks a little like Wolowitz's cousin from the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
He looks like we've ran out of players. You go to the local Y and like, are you available? I got a uniform for you.
We need somebody that's going to put the ball in the basket.
But trust me, that isn't who's going to show up. That's who you think is going to show up. That isn't Wolowitz out there. This kid can shoot. He's smart. 91% free throw shooter. That's the best in their league. One of the tops in the nation. Just a really crafty player. Looks really unassuming. Just like, we won't worry too much about him. Let's guard everybody else.
He's like
their
Grayson Murphy.
Pretty much. He does that kind of stuff. And he was big. Now, he's the one that impressed me 10 times more than I thought he would be. And Defo was unbelievably good. He was just so good defensively.
Yep.
I mean, you know, blocked six shots against the Racers. He was, to me, the one that turned the game around in terms of interior defense because the Racers had virtually no answer inside all night long.
Well, and the one thing I want to mention about him, and I know that you and I try to talk all sorts of – I want to give credit where credit's due. And Defo averaged 3.6 blocks last year. Averaged. We know a guy.
And was defensive player of the year, by the way.
Right. And we know a guy, you know, in Jani Broom that blocks like that. And except Casey Ndefo is 6'7 and 195. He's just fleet of foot is the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. Reacts quickly, speedy. And that was the number one thing I described. I described St. Peter's defense. I didn't see guys that were necessarily bigger than the Racers. Not particularly.
No.
I saw five guys that moved around like water bugs on top of a pond. They just skittered all over. They just moved. They were with Murray lock and step. And the thing about it is both teams had to play an overtime game.
Yeah.
So both teams were essentially gassed.
Sure.
And going back to the foul thing, were there fouls that weren't called? Sure. Absolutely. But you had 46 called.
Yeah.
22 on St. Peter's and 24 on the Racers. How many more times are you going to blow the whistle?
Yeah.
They let them, for the most part, play in specific zones on the court. And some of that stuff just played into St. Peter's favor.
Couple calls I would have liked to have had, but for the most part, I think it was a fairly called game, but a couple of calls I'd like to have had. But conversely, I don't want one of those close call games. Let's see if we can shoot 90 free throws tonight. I don't want that.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
I'm all right with it. Call some of them. Players adjust somewhat, and you're just gonna have to let some go.
We say these things. We've given these two games. We could talk about these games for ages.
Well, I have one cool St. Peter story.
By all means,
you may have seen that, but I wanted to share it in case someone didn't see it. I just thought it was cool. They won their game against Kentucky, and then the next morning, one of their spirit groups who couldn't make the trip, I guess because of funding, said, wish we could have been there.
They didn't have radio guys for the first game.
Wish we could have been there, but we enjoyed watching, and we'll be watching Saturday night, I guess, at the viewing party.
Yeah.
Peacock TV saw that tweet and said, how quick can you pack? And they flew them out to Indianapolis.
Oh, that's cool.
And they said, first of all, they said, are we being pranked? Is this real? And they said, check your DM. And it was from Peacock. It wasn't from Peacock 03721.
It was Peacock.
It was actually
that's
from
awesome.
Peacock.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a cool thing. They flew them out and they said, well, hey, birds of a feather flock together. So it was a good little push for Peacock TV. I just thought that was a neat thing.
I want to add to this before we start talking about McMahon, because I'm going to need a drink or two to do that. I digress. I won't do that. But my heartstrings do play for Matt McMahon. I won't deny it. But when it's two mid-majors, Neil, you've seen this. We've both seen what happens when a mid-major gets the chance of a lifetime.
Yes. Suddenly, though, we weren't Cinderella. Cinderella was in front of us. It wasn't the Racers.
It wasn't.
So it isn't as good. I've never had that in the NCAA tournament. Usually that's us.
Yeah.
We're the one with the glass slipper and all that and the little pumpkin carriage, but not this time.
I thought the arena atmosphere, and I'll go into kind of what I'm getting at here in a second, the arena atmosphere, it was weird in a good way. It was like if the Racers made a run, people cheered. And then if St. Peter's went on a run, they cheered. No booing.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you had an arena full of sad Tennessee fans who had just lost to Michigan. So they wanted to be miserable too. They wanted Murray State to be miserable. But I felt like everybody in their arena, they just cheered. It was not like a, it was not angry. It was, well, if Murray wins, that's great. Another mid-major, they've taken their step into right. a much larger world. If St. Peter's wins, we've got our Cinderella. We've yeah. got our third team in history to make the Sweet 16 as a 15 seed. So it's like, it was a kind of a win-win in a way for college basketball. Obviously, it hurts for the Racers. Yes. I'm not going to deny that. You are so hungry for a Sweet 16 berth, so starving for that. St. Peter's win against Kentucky was their first win in the NCAA tournament ever. They were 0-3 prior to that.
Yeah.
Then they come in and they beat Murray. They ruined every headline that said, man, these two teams are going to play in the second round.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not trying to like spit all over that, but Murray has reaped the benefits for years for its Cinderella standing, its point guard university, John Morant, Isaiah Cannon, Cameron Payne, this team, the amount of media that, you know, that covered this run for the Racers, national and regional and local, just generating this hype going to the Missouri Valley, you know, Matt McMahon, the young hot coach in the country, you know, the staff's good. Here's all these different stories. And then you have St. Peter's, Shaheen Holloway and all these guys, you know, they're the first New Jersey team to make the Sweet 16 since Shaheen Holloway's point guard led Seton Hall. So the storylines either way add up. St. Peter's is set to make more than $100 million in what we call generated revenue.
Sure.
Not real. We don't have a stack of cash over there with Scrooge McDuck waiting to open the safe. But they have this free publicity. And Murray State, just since 2019, has seen that boon. And it's like, don't get me wrong, I didn't like seeing Murray State lose, but I didn't hate seeing St. Peter's win, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Honestly, when I watch the NCAA tournament, I love the Cinderella story. We've grown up. We're not Cinderella anymore. Haven't been a long time.
I think that's a great point. That's it right there.
So that's done. The old, oh gosh, I sure hope we can beat the one or two seed we're playing here in the opening round. I'm not saying that'll never happen again because, I mean, there's lots of years, but that's done.
Especially going to the Missouri Valley.
Yeah. Now, we're going to be playing.
Your seed line's better now.
Be better. You may not be the higher seed, but the days of Cinderella, I think that's long gone, unless you happen to get in maybe as some sort of a 13 or something like that, have a down year, win the tournament, and then go on a big run. I guess then they technically might give that Cinderella label to you, but to me, that's pretty much sailed. And for St. Peter's, I saw their area where they were watching. I don't know where that was. It looked to me like maybe 1,000 people in there.
Right.
Do you know how many they drew a game this year for their home games, their average home attendance? I do.
You'll know better than I do. I think it's less than 700.
536 a game.
Man, see, that's what March is, man. And I'm not trying to, like, you look at Murray State this past season, their average attendance. Yeah. Murray State's average attendance this year is going to be over 4,000.
Yeah. So they were last in their league in attendance. And
see?
And there they are.
And they won.
Now, so next year, if they said, we're going to double our attendance, well, I guess you'd have to be happy with 1,000 if you had 500 the year before. But it's a small school. It's like if every student went, they're only going to have 2,300 there, something like that.
Yeah.
So if every student went to a game, and you'll never get that at any university.
Right.
They still can't have that many. But, you know, outside of Murray State losing to them, it is a cool story. Can they beat Purdue? Gosh, I don't know. Purdue's got that size inside, but
they also have Jaden Ivey.
But who knows? I didn't think they could beat Kentucky either. And they did. After watching them, it's like, I don't know. We're going to have a tough time against them, and certainly did. But they're legit. They're legit. Whether they beat Purdue or not, it's house money for them right now.
Absolutely. So this brings us to our solemn chapter, although it's a happy and joyous chapter. You just mentioned the fact that Murray State men's basketball, I think it's a great point, not something that I had even remotely thought about. Murray State probably no longer wears the Cinderella slipper. The foot's gotten a little bigger, you know, now for the Racers.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt McMahon.
He played a role in it.
He played a huge role
in it. He wasn't the only person, but he's played a big role, and that's not happening anymore.
After 7 years as Murray State men's basketball coach, and you segued right into
it. Four as an assistant.
Matt,
if we thought you'd flake out on us after 11 years, we'd have never hired you in the first place.
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
I can't believe that. Yeah, can you believe?
11. Some people are, it's like, he's been here 11 years.
11.
That's fine. That's, you know, that's okay.
He watched his children grow up literally in their front yard.
Yeah, there you go. So. Yeah, there is no disloyalty there.
Can you believe it? The audacity
of
him.
There are a couple of people who have suggested, but hardly none. Almost all of the outpouring has been because anyone who knows Matt is happy for Matt. Anyone who knows his family is happy for his family. This is a great opportunity.
It is.
For a great man and a great family, and I'm so happy he got it. I really am.
Yeah.
Now, if he decided, I don't really want that, I'll stay here for, I would have been fine with that too.
I would have too.
But. Yeah. Sure. I'm happy for him. He said it's an opportunity of a lifetime, and heck, I agree with him. I hope they do well.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily even think, I mean, yes, the money helps. I'm not an idiot. I'm not, when generational wealth comes your way, by the way, for those who inquired, it's a 7-year deal, $2.6 million on the first year, and it increases thereafter with the potential for another year should certain sanctions come their way. I understand. I'll go right into the negative first. Let's start out with the bad news and go with the good later. We know that sanctions are probably coming. We know that there might be some violations under Will Wade that are certainly going to get the NCAA's attention in a dramatic and fashionable way. That could come in the form of cash reparations. That could come in the form of scholarship removal. That could come in the form of no NCAA tournament for X years, months, whatever, postseason show, attendance, so on and so forth. That is coming. We know this. This is not a surprise.
Oh, they'll get something.
They'll get something.
This wasn't, we overspent on this. This was...
Yeah, this wasn't this an extra bad. Brown envelope slid across the table.
This is worse.
That being said...
But let me tell you, LSU fans, if you're listening, that ain't happening anymore. That's not going to happen. Under Matt Staff, that's done.
Those days are over.
Those days are done. You have a man of integrity. And I think that's a big part of this hire, Ed. First of all, he's a great basketball coach, but they wanted two things. There are some other great basketball coaches out there, but they wanted that and top-notch integrity, and they got it with one hire.
Yeah.
They did it.
Yeah. At worst, you've hit a double.
Yeah.
At best, you've hit a grand slam.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I don't even want to use – sorry for the baseball comparison. We are about to get into baseball season. But the discussions – this isn't just us blowing smoke in the air. Matt McMahon and his family are great people. And the thing about it is you have this situation where, yeah, he knows – and whoever he hires is going to know. And whoever they go and recruit, they're going to know. Everybody
but
knows.
But if they don't know, he'll tell them.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Maybe they don't know about this. Let's not mention it. Spoiler. It won't be that.
Yeah, no. It's going to happen. And the thing about it is, he doesn't care. Yeah. I think, if anything, this is just a new challenge. It's a new opportunity. We know it's a better league. I'm not an idiot. Nobody's an idiot. The Missouri Valley, it's going to be great. But guess what? The SEC is a top five. Conference in college basketball, sometimes top three and sometimes number one. And next year is going to be really special. You take a look, the bottom of the SEC this year went out and got all new coaches. And then Georgia went and got Mike White from Florida. Todd Golden, who coached against Matt McMahon a week ago, is now the coach of Florida. South Carolina, a job that obviously was probably pushing for McMahon. We seem to be reading between the lines there that there was a significant push. They went and hired Lamont Paris from Chattanooga. Oh, hey, they coached against each other this year. Mississippi State went and got Chris Jans from New Mexico State. Missouri got their guy. So you just have this situation where it's just going to be a really, really cool opportunity for Matt McMahon in this new arena, this new caliber. Not necessarily that there was bad coaching in the OVC. There's great coaching in the OVC, and there's great coaching in the Missouri Valley. But it's going to be this just this new gauntlet that he and his family get to experience and this team gets to experience.
Yeah, it'll be great. And I don't know how to say this nicely. I'll say it anyway. In November and December, there won't be that much pressure on the basketball at LSU.
Well, there won't.
Because they have another sport that kind of dominates the November and early December. And then they hope January.
Football.
Yeah. So.
Why am I whispering? It's
football. And you can sugarcoat it and everything, but that's just the way it is.
I think it's amazing he's going to have Shaquille O'Neal on line one.
Yeah.
And by the way, Shaquille O'Neal, huge Ja Morant fan.
But he can probably get tickets to LSU games on a Saturday night in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been to one. I've watched them. And on racer road trips, we love listening to them. What, it doesn't matter who they're playing because it's so electric. That place, like, you can't hear anything in there. It's incredible.
Do you think Matt McMahon brings in LSU for a two-for-one like Bruce Pearl did with Auburn?
Everyone always dreams that, and no one ever does it. Oh, that'd be great. UCLA come in here.
Because Matt McMahon knows. He's like, I'm sure as shit not going there.
Yeah, go
those
ahead.
Those guys are good.
Go ahead and dream on that. That is not happening.
No.
Not to say they would never, ever, ever come here, but the two for one, I don't see that happening. In fact, as you think about this, we've never even played against one of our coaches.
That's a good point.
Not even played against.
You're right. They've always come in for Hoopalooza.
Yeah.
They've had dinner with families. Yeah. They've been in your home, but they sure as hell aren't bringing their teams here.
Alabama,
to play.
Mark. You want to come? Hey, Murray State coming? No, don't want you.
Because they know.
Yep, don't really want you here. And on UCLA coming? Nope. That's all right.
Cincinnati?
Nope. So just
NC State? Nope.
Yeah. So it goes on. Steve Newton, South Carolina? No.
Nope.
No.
I'm good. Have a great day.
Not gonna get you. So it hasn't happened.
Don't see that happening now.
I don't really see it happen now because actually. Here's the thing that they don't have to.
You're right.
That's why. They don't have to. I could see a possibility that they could go there and play. I can't say we've never played them. I have to go there, but we haven't played them in my lifetime. I know.
Right.
So we'll see. But I don't think it'll happen.
Favorite memory. We could do this. We could do the Goodbye Matt McMahon podcast. I got news for him. If he thought for 1 second, maybe he's experienced some catharsis knowing that I don't have to be around anymore.
Thanks for using that word.
Not a problem.
That.
Anytime that I don't have to harass him. He doesn't know this. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law are moving to New Orleans, which is 75 minutes away from Baton Rouge.
And see, I hated to tell you. The reason he chose LSU is it was further away from you, Ed.
It was.
It was between it and South Carolina. And that was, he just went to Google Maps and go, yep, Baton Rouge. I know we think it's the money and the pro. No, it was you.
He can get
further away from you, and now you drop this.
Oh, yeah.
He's under contract now. There's nothing really can do for him.
Oh, that's why I didn't want to tell him. Now he's got the contract, and he doesn't know that I'm going to be in New Orleans like twice a year, and I'm going to harass his ass.
Don't tell him for a while. He was feeling really good about his new job.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, man.
I'm going to have to drop the hammer on him.
That's terrible. So the Hall of Shamer is going to be coming in and seeing Matt.
Honestly, I'm going to have to find a way. I'm going to have to find a way to do it. Just to get in there, maybe sneak into the press conference one time.
Oh, geez.
You know, act like I'm a media member and then just be like, Coach, catharsis, can you give me a definition? Have you felt that since being
or
at LSU?
Something Star Wars-y.
Something Star Wars related. Coach, what are you doing on Valentine's Day? After the game, are you and your wife going out having a night on the town? You know, stupid ass questions like that. We say these things as we transition to, real quick, I actually do want to add, what's your favorite Matt McMahon memory, Neil? And I know you got 11 years of it. I've got one.
Okay. I think mine, in terms of just remembering him, was, watching him, I think it was at the OVC tournament when Ja was playing, and we had it one where he just kind of sits down on the scorer's table over there while the game's still going on.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of not totally like hops up, but has a leg and sitting over there. Just kind of like, it's pretty fun to coach this kid.
Yeah.
This is a lot of, there's a fun team. It's just always stuck with me. I really, really like that.
The first memory, the one that sticks with me the most, and I know I'm not going to take anything away from those first 2 years at all. I know that a lot of people take a look at the 16-17 season, and that's the ending of the 500 streak, which, by the way, was propped up on a lot of terrible freaking wins. And they wanted to go better than 16-17 in 16-17, but you know that season obviously bore a lot of great things, particularly the leadership that we got. You know, that the Racers got from, you know, Jonathan Stark and Terrell Miller the next season and the recruiting class that came thereafter. Those first two seasons were just growing pains for everybody on the staff. Young staff, young guys trying to figure it out, trying to recruit guys that were going to fit their mold and their need. It's the 17-18 season. It's that championship, Neil, for me. Ja, the freshman, Shaq, Terrell, Jonathan, and it was the first time, his first championship, and he exulted. Don't get me wrong. He got up, you know, he was always into the crowd and always into the fans and the family and the players and everybody, just big celebration, got to cut the nets down, twirl them around. But for me, it was when he sat down on baseline after the game, like right after the game. He had just celebrated with a couple of people and he sat down, and I've got a picture of it somewhere. But he just almost breaks down. Like, he didn't break down, but he just leaned back in his chair.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, I just won my first championship.
Right.
Like, yeah. I just freaking did it. And I knew then, because those first two seasons had been so tough, you'd gone 500 in the league, which many teams would take, but Murray State fans don't. A lot of pressure on him to kind of get it done, I guess. You know, after a 4-year deal,
I would think, yeah,
yeah,
honestly,
you'd been booed at one of your own, like, Racer Madness games, Racer Madness celebrations to start the season, and then you do that with that squad, with those guys you recruited, guys you brought in, and basically proved, hey, I do belong here.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of special things in those first two seasons as a reporter. They were just different things. Yeah, you didn't have as much success, but you could tell things were starting to really trend in the right direction. And that memory sticks with me a lot. Him sitting on that bench the first time as a first-time OVC champion, and he was going to the NCAA tournament, there was just an emotion, I think, that just washed over him of relief.
He had to make some decisions on the first couple of years, because he has a certain way things need to be done.
Sure.
And certain personnel really weren't on board with doing those things that way.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You got to get your team. And once he got his team, it was really special. Outside of the COVID year, I don't count that for hardly anybody. Some teams did great. Some teams didn't. That was tough. They had a team they really needed to coach and couldn't coach him. And that wasn't a good year for anybody, but
wasn't.
But outside of that, once he got it going after the first couple of years, he's just absolutely tremendous. And I love the way he handled his team, handled his players, and he would not let you, if they were up 50 and they had the end of the bench in there and they did something stupid, he'd call a timeout. He would coach them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He felt that was his job. He wouldn't lay back, we'll correct that tomorrow. We'll take a look at that.
Yeah, no, we're going to correct
that
right now.
They're going to correct it right now. We don't play that way. We don't do things that way here. And it's a culture, and he brings in players that pay it forward.
Yep.
Tevin, KJ, you want to do something half-assed, they're gonna call you out on it.
Yep.
So it starts like, oh, okay, we don't do that here. We don't do that here. We don't do that here. Here's the way it gets done, and it just rolls on. That's the success you have right now, and we hope it'll continue under the next coach.
Perfect segue. Well, I mean, obviously it's clear as day. Why are we wasting time with a recruiting company? Why are we wasting time with a service organization that's right, going to help with a national search? I don't understand, Neil. I thought you were supposed to hire a coach 48 hours after Matt McMahon leaves.
Well, it does. That does sound ideal. That sounds like a good way of doing things. But I think a national search firm, and they do it for jobs everywhere, it kind of dots the I's, crosses the T's, and dots every lowercase j that you have. You know, you want to be sure that it's a fair process. Who knows? There may be a candidate out there that you've never considered that that applies, but it gives you a great resume of coaches from their firm. The national search, there's some great ones here that I, trust me, I would have no problem with Tim Kaine, Casey Long, James Kaine. If Steve Prohm wanted to come back, I've heard him mention. Those are terrific men, and I don't think any fan would have any issue with any of those guys. They may have a favorite. They may not have a favorite among right. those. I'm not sure. But I'm sure they'll be among the pool of process if they're all interested.
Right.
You know, Casey could have another head coaching opportunity at Chattanooga. I don't know about that. But let me tell you.
I know he's beloved in Chattanooga, and that's a unique opportunity.
He will be a great head coach someday somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know where that'll be.
No doubt.
I think Tim Kaine will, James Kaine will, their opportunities just have to come about. We already know Steve can be. He has been. So
right. He
can be. So we have a lot of commodities that are a lot of men who have, I think, a great resume. Steve, the only one of those four with the head coaching experience. But, gosh, you know, they know Murray. The ones that you have here, they have the John Morant connection, including James Kaine.
Sure.
So you have
Shane Nichols, too.
Those three. Shane Nichols, who's also, yeah, I forgot about. And Shane, he'll, I'm sure, likely throw his hat into the ring. So there's another that's highly qualified, tremendous recruiters. So I don't know. I like Kevin Saul. We were able to interview him twice at the NCAA tournament. I have utmost confidence he's going to make a tremendous hire, and this is a big hire for him now.
He knows.
This is huge, and he knows it, but gosh, he has been up to the challenge every time for this university, and I know he will be too. I know it's not just Kevin, what's the decision here? He doesn't go out and name the coach.
Right.
But he, the committee, they'll make a recommendation to the Board of Regents. It'll be a good one. And now to say we'll win 31 games next year, oh, you don't have Kevin and KJ, that's going to be tough, and you're in the Missouri Valley Conference.
Right.
But I still think lots of great basketball still ahead for Murray State in the very near future.
Well, and you had a really interesting statement made by Juice Hill today, too, and I'm not going to take anything away from that. We'll get to the players in a minute.
Right.
You know, but, I mean, Juice, KJ, came out and said he's going to test NBA waters without an agent.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll hear the same type of statement from Tevin relatively soon. And then the same with Juice. Juice is in an opportunity. You know, he's already dealt with a coaching change once at Arkansas. I wouldn't blame him that if things didn't go a particular way, he explored other opportunities. Player empowerment is at its highest that it's ever been.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't blame him at all if things didn't particularly go a way that he, you know, sees them. I want to go back, first of all, to the national search firm. I know that seems to be like a... That's a thing. Like, people have been talking about that all day today. And I can get that fans can talk about whatever they want. That's fine. You've brought up a very, very important point that didn't even cross my mind at all today. I was thinking about it from a different perspective, and I'll get to that in a second. But the equal opportunity. We're not talking about... I'm not talking about racism. I'm talking about equal opportunity in general.
Right.
You
right.
have to open the door for every single application that comes in, whether they're JUCO qualified, D1, D2, if they're interested in Murray State, and by the way, people are interested in this
yeah.
job, which is priority number one, I think that's yeah. extremely positive.
Now, you don't have to have it out there for 30 days.
No.
But
you better have it out there for a week.
For a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say a week.
I get that. I think a week's reasonable. If you don't know if you're interested in a week, then we probably don't need you at Murray State.
You're right.
Honestly,
yeah,
you need to go do something else somewhere.
You either circled that and you were waiting for it,
yeah.
or you were just like, nah, I don't know what I want.
Yeah,
two things, a couple other things, and again, this is obviously a ton of moving parts, so much so that there's probably even a whole other column I could write about it. But you know, clearly, you have this opportunity where Murray State is a national profile now. Now, I'm not saying you're always going to be top 30. I'm not saying you're always going to be top 40. I'm saying that this job has built up-and-comers, has built people. Matt McMahon has the longest tenure in 30 years for a coach, as far as the full-time, not the head coaching position, but the full-time.
He was the granddaddy of the OVC.
Yes, absolutely.
He was the old dude.
Yeah, he was the old guy that everybody was looking up to and saying, hey, man, how do we figure this out? How do you do this?
Yeah, longest tenured coach, head coach at Murray State.
So you have this situation where, yes, we know the transition to the Missouri Valley is pivotal. That's piece number one. So the timing probably feels uncomfortable for Racer fans.
I'm sure.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is you're now on a national level as a mid-major conference. The Ohio Valley Conference gets coaches all the time that are either trying to – they're really young coming out of JUCO. They're trying to figure things out. This is where we get our feet wet. The Missouri Valley just graduated Porter Moser to Oklahoma. It just graduated Greg Marshall, which, you know, got fired. Wichita State was able to go to the American. So on and so forth. There are multiple coaches that have come out of the Missouri Valley that go on to the next level as Power Five coaches. So the national search going into the MVC, number one, is just due diligence, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure fans will be really upset about the waste of time, quote, if Murray State and Kevin Saul do happen to choose someone a little bit closer to home. But it's like you said, number one, due diligence, T's, J's, I's, any other letter you choose to think of. Again, you're also on a national profile now where you have put yourself on the map with guys like Cannon, Payne, your coaches, John Morant. You can't just say, well, we're just going to hire the next coach. Furthermore, the number of ways that this could go is really intriguing. The permutations. The number of racers, number one, you could potentially go get, or ties to the racers.
And we didn't even mention Marcus Brown and Popeye Jones.
No.
Could be interested.
Tyler Holloway at Belmont.
There you go.
Could be interested. Amir Abdur-Rahim from Kennesaw State could be interested. What's Chris Shumate doing at Georgia Southern with Tim McAllister? I wrote all these names down. There's other racer names out there.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That have ties to Murray State Athletics that might be like, you know, I think now's the time. Now is the time. So Kevin needs a search firm to just sort through the racers, period. I in my opinion, I could be wrong, but I think just even with the locals, and that's grabbing Kane from Dayton if he's interested, grabbing Nichols from, you know, from Radford, if he's interested, whoever it is, you need a search firm to go and get these guys and say, hey, listen, why don't you shoot us an email? Let's talk. Do you go the UK route? I know that has people either pro or con or whatever on edge, but even for a search firm, you got to go talk to Calipari's staff. You got to go talk to other former grad UK assistants. Do you talk to Preston Spradlin? I've seen that mentioned a couple of times. You know, that's always a possibility. Furthermore, even with a search firm, you have to have a search firm to legally talk to some of your boosters, some of your guys that are just giving you the money so that you're doing things the right way. So again, I understand maybe the frustration that maybe you're just supposed to go down to Tom's Grill and invite a guy for lunch like a Prome or a Casey Long or a Tim Kane or whoever, or Marcus Brown, or whoever it is, or Casey Long, whoever it is, locally, and just be like, hey, lunch is on me. We'll get this, and then we'll get your contract squared away. That's not how that works anymore.
No.
That's just not how that – you can't go down to Rudy's and order the meat and three veg and put that on your tab and say you're the next coach. This isn't the 1960s and the 1970s. I'm sure Kevin has done his due diligence over the last month and a half. If he was watching this basketball team, I don't necessarily know if Matt McMahon knew in January that he was coaching his last season at Murray State, but I think as time drew nearer toward the postseason, it became much clearer some of the comments that he was making. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he definitely spent a lot of time promoting his staff. He always did. But I just felt like there was a lot of things that he said that were just like, hey, my guys are ready. And you get to those types of scenarios. Kevin knew what was coming. This is not a surprise.
Yeah, and the iron is as hot as it's ever been for Matt. Or, it's hot.
And maybe any coach in Murray State history?
I mean, it's hot right now. And that's the reason he was able to swing an LSU deal. Best deal, I think, for a first-year coach of anybody, right?
Yeah.
That we've sent somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I know there's the pipe dream of, well, we need to hire a coach who'll stay here long term. I got news for you. 7 years is long term. That's pretty long term. In the coaching profession, that's pretty good. You're not going to get 10, 15, 20-year guys. Take a look at where they are. They're just not anymore.
Your long-term coaches right now are all at top five schools.
Yeah.
Calipari, UK. Bill Self, Kansas.
Coach K just leaving.
Duke.
Yeah.
UNC, Roy Williams retired after umpteen years, and before that had been at Kansas. I mean, you're not wrong. Now, I'm not necessarily saying you're going to get the next coach that's only here for 2 years.
Right, right.
Because you're going to the Missouri Valley, and you got to think there's going to need to be some sort of perpetuity there.
Well, if he's here 2 years, something really bad has happened.
Something bad
or
happened.
Something really good has happened in the Missouri Valley. you'll be okay with him leaving because you'll have probably been to a Final Four.
Right.
If he's gone in 2 years.
Yep. Or, I agree.
You know. So, and I don't expect anything bad to happen. So,
my insight on it. I've had people ask me who I want. I don't care, and I don't mean that in a really disrespectful way at all. I really do not care. One, I'm not the athletic director. I never will be. Not a job I would ever desire. Because here's the problem. We've mentioned the five racers, six racers, former racers, tangential to the racers. You're going to hire somebody there. If you do, there's still going to be fans that don't like it.
It doesn't matter who you hire.
Doesn't matter who you hire.
You're going to make people mad.
You're going to make people mad.
Doesn't matter.
You hire Tim Kaine, there's people that are going to be mad about it. Yeah. You hire Casey Long, there's people that are going to be mad about it. You hire Steve Prohm, there's people that are going to be mad about it. Shane Nichols, pissed off about it. Doesn't matter. You could pick the coming of Christ who played at Murray State University and won you a national championship. You're still going to be pissed off about it. Somebody's going to be like, I didn't like him. It's just, you can't please everybody. There are people who don't want James Kaine. There are people who don't want Shane Nichols. They don't want Marcus Brown. They don't want Casey Long. I'm not trying to be inappropriate. I'm just saying to make all 15,000 racer fans happy,
well, that's
impossible.
It's not an athletic director's job. Your job is not to make fans happy. Your job is to hire the best person for the job.
Right.
And I think Kevin will do that. As far as I don't endorse any candidates. There's some I would prefer because I know. And there may be some out there that would be a great coach that I don't even know. I don't know. But of the ones I know, we've brought up most of the names. I'm comfortable with all those dudes.
Sure, absolutely. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody.
From recruiting to culture of the program, everything. So whoever it is, if it's any of those guys, I'm fine with it. And if it's someone else, I'll probably be fine with it too. It doesn't, I have to realize – and I'm calling games for the university, so if I get in here and go, I want Bob Jones, and Bob Jones is my guy.
Oh, yeah.
And then it turns out to be someone else.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. Well, that makes it look really bad.
Yeah.
Well, so,
you're going to have a coach's show with him, too. And the thing about it is, I'm not trying to extract, like...
Well, I know, but I mean,
right, but you're saying
all the guys that we have, and I'm fine with all of them.
Right.
But if I had a major preference... I wouldn't state it publicly, or if I had one that I didn't like, I wouldn't state that publicly. But let me tell you, I don't have anybody that I don't. And I swear there is no one like,
right.
I sure hope he doesn't get the job because we're in trouble. None of those guys.
Yeah.
None of those guys.
Totally agree.
I feel that way. I feel fantastic about all of them.
I think that's fair. But that's what I'm getting at is you feel fantastic about those guys, but there is going to be a hire that somebody else doesn't like.
And that's fine.
And that's where...
Didn't like Matt McMahon getting hired. People, Steve Prohm, he doesn't have any experience. My God, what are you doing hiring him? Could have got somebody else. What'd you hire Prohm for?
Great point. And that's what I'm trying to
bring out.
Why
would you hire Prohm?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, he has no head coaching experience. That's what a dumb move that is.
Same with McMahon.
Well, okay, so he's won five in a row, but I mean, can he win six in a row? Okay, well, 10. He's won 10. Can he win 15? Okay, he's won 23. I think I'll shut up now. He's won 23 straight.
I think I'll just be quiet.
In the top 10, I'll just shut up. So, yeah. So sometimes the hires are unexpectedly good. I was for Steve. I love Steve. I think it's a great hire. Now, he'll go 23-0 to start the season. No.
You mean you didn't have your first coach's show that year? Be like, hey, Steve, you call your shot, man. How many in a row?
Yeah. No, I didn't didn't really think that was going to happen. But I did think he would do well. But no, I don't think anyone envisioned that right out of the gate. It was fun. I like Steve everything except when he brings up the Alaska story.
Right.
He and I are going to have a big talk about that. He brings it up way too much.
Big fan, though. And that was a great trip. And that was a great
trip. And a
heck
of a story.
Heck of a story.
But no, I love Steve to death. And I love all the guys on the staff. So no matter what happens, I hope that all of them find terrific jobs because all of them can't be the head coach. But I want success for all of them because they're all good people.
We've pontificated about this quite a bit. Another big word there, which means we've extrapolated and talked way too much. But I do want to put a couple, just to maybe a gut reaction.
Okay.
I think Murray State will hire its next coach within the next 14 days because the NCAA tournament will come to its fruitful end for somebody, whoever wins the national championship. Uh-huh. And that's the final shuffle of the deck of cards for coaches who figure out what our next step is.
Well, I can tell you when they'll hire him. They'll hire him between April 2nd and April 10th because I'm going to be out of the country. So that's when they'll hire him. So trust me, it's the way things work in my life.
Where are you going for those 8 days?
Cancun.
You're going to Cancun.
20th anniversary trip, yeah.
Oh, Neil Bradley.
So, but what I'm telling you, that's...
Are you going to have floaties?
I don't even know what that is.
Like on
is
your
that
arms?
A drink?
No. Well, there could be.
I have no idea.
No, floaties, like on your arms.
So I can swim, Ed.
I know, but you
I'm
still
not
just...
Three.
So you don't have to... I'm three and I can't swim. I'm saying you still put floaties on to like laze about in like a lazy river with like a fruity drink in your hand.
There might be a fruity drink involved. I don't know. But I mean, that's when it'll happen. So I won't. I promise it'll happen then. I won't get to meet whoever it is. There will be a presser and I'll be like, great.
So... Neil's calling the shot right now. Yeah. Between April 2nd and April 10th, Murray State will have its announcement and its introductory press conference because he's going to be out of the country.
Yeah, out of the country.
Because of the luck.
Yeah, just the luck.
Okay.
So that's when it's going to happen. No matter, I know everyone wants it earlier, but I'm sorry, it's just not going
to
be.
Yeah. Kevin, if you're listening right now, be sure to schedule this either prior to April 2nd or after April 10th because Neil Bradley has a 20th anniversary, which he wishes to celebrate.
There you go.
That's the final shuffle a lot of times with NCAA tournaments.
Right. Yeah.
And as we all know, look at what broke down in Indianapolis this weekend. When you bring people together for the Sweet 16, business. When you bring people together for the Elite Eight and the Final Four and the championship, business.
Mm-hmm.
My father-in-law told me, and he's right, the last time he went to see UK win their national championship, he met 15 head coaches and assistant coaches, people that were revered and respected.
Oh, yeah.
And McMahon will go. He goes every year. They are literally, it's like a conclave of coaches and ADs.
Do you know why that is, Ed? I'll explain that to you.
But I know why, but do elaborate.
It's the National Association of Basketball Coaches Convention on that weekend.
Right.
So they're all there.
And it's where they do their breakdown for all of their, they talk about their offense, their defenses.
Yeah.
They swap ideas. Exchange business cards, and the ADs are poaching. That's the time where they can quietly start to observe and then maybe even have a couple conversations. Like, what are you doing?
Or sometimes ask questions about an assistant. And it's always good to have a knowledge of available coaches for the next hire, honestly. They may not get this hire, and then somewhere down the road, it's like, I like the interview with that guy. If he doesn't have a head job, and we're on an excellent, I may call him back.
Right. It's going to be really interesting to see how it all shakes out.
It will.
As Dave Winder said, and we'll be paying attention. Don't expect to break it. Do think a guy like John Rothstein, Pete Thamel, somebody, you know, maybe even a Neil Bradley.
No, I won't do it.
If
I do it, I'll go, hey, bueno. Uno. I know very little
Spanish.
Are
you working on your Spanish?
Yeah. Mesa libre is the table free. And Cafe del Negro, black coffee.
Okay.
El Baño, bathroom. That's about all I got.
That's all you need, man.
That's it.
Coffee, bathroom, and is that table empty? I love it. We love to see it. Let's take a quick shift to women's basketball. Obviously, a lot of things we can talk about there. A couple of transfers headed out.
WNIT, too. They had a good half of performance, and then Vandy kind of vandied them there in the second half.
Vandy's defense really good. And real quick, I'm going to rewind super quickly. Juice Hill's statement, I thought, was more about I don't necessarily think he was endorsing specifically a coach, but he's already been through a coaching search before. I wish him the best. I don't necessarily think it means he's entering the portal just yet.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. Sounds like he wants a member of the staff to stay on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think
don't
that's,
have any issue with him saying that.
I don't either. As a leader of the team, he's allowed to say that. Yeah. He's earned that.
Yeah.
Furthermore, again, he's been through a coaching search. He understands what that means, and that that might mean a total change in locker room perspective, offense, defense, experience, whatever. He came to Murray for a specific staff. That staff might not be here. So he's certainly got his eyeballs on the situation, as every player in that locker room will moving forward. The same with KJ. You know, KJ, Tevin, you know, Tevin hasn't made a personal announcement yet, but we know through several social media outlets that that's pretty clear that college basketball days might be over for him.
I think they're done for
him. He's exploring, you know, the possibility of professional opportunities. And KJ specifically announced it. Like, hey, leaving the window open, you know, it's cracked, but it's absolutely an evaluation process needs to come for a 6'10", 245-pound forward who did everything he could for the Racers. So looking forward to seeing really what comes of their exploration.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what Tevin and KJ get from, you know, these analyst marks.
Right.
That's a lot of times where you see, you know, you're going to fit. Here's where we think you'll fit. And, sir, you might need another few months in college basketball. And they're going to get that analysis pretty much free of charge outside of the travel. Now we shuffle back to the women. You're right about the first half. I was keeping up with that. Fans keeping up with it, waiting for the game to start on Thursday. It's like, oh, why don't you just go watch the WNIT?
Yeah.
First half of basketball, Murray looked sharp. Vanderbilt is a terrific defensive team. Their record is deceiving. They had some critical wins in the SEC despite their SEC finish. Beat Kentucky, you know, beat a couple other really tough programs. You and I talked about that a lot. And then the second half, the wheels just kind of, I don't want to say, well, they came off. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Defensively, Vanderbilt came away with, what, 17 steals, I think, 16 steals. Just quick, agile, attacking, and on their home floor on top of that, and came away with a big win.
Yeah, it was really weird. I was getting ready for a game. We're watching that game and then have the end of the Murray High game in high school basketball. I had it on stats broadcast. Right. I was like,
watching all these different stats.
Yeah, it was just crazy.
Well, we were talking about Murray Madness, man.
It was a crazy day of stuff. And Lyon County played the day before, earlier in the day, and I'd already listened to them move on. But it was a crazy, crazy night. It was but anyhow, the women, I know Caitlin Young had a little tough time getting going early, but she had a good surge late in the, I guess, second quarter.
Right.
Ended up doing pretty well. But they had a tremendous season and a lot to build on there.
My gosh. Absolutely a lot to build on.
Really highly talented recruiting class and probably more to come.
Yeah, and that's another great segue. A couple of tough transfers. Claire McGowan, it looks like, I think, Takai Howard also transferring. So there's a couple more scholarships that may open up.
Claire, I don't know as much about Howard, but Claire McGowan had just an unbelievable high school career. For whatever reason, just a tough shooting year here. She's the kind of player that could go and have amazing success somewhere else if she can get her shot back.
I agree.
She's a really, really hard worker. No idea what happened, but just didn't shoot it as well as I know she felt like she should. And we certainly wish her and Ms. Howard the best.
So it was tied 28 all at halftime. And then in the third quarter is really where things changed. Vanderbilt outscored them 27-14 in the third, and then the fourth 18-5. Just not too much left at that point. Right. And you take a look at the turnovers. Murray had 23.
And Rochelle said we have a chance to win if we don't turn it over. They turned it over
23-13. And as a matter of fact, Vanderbilt turned that into 29 points off of turnovers. So when you get a point per turnover, as we've noticed this year, that's not ideal.
That will be the point of emphasis over the summer for Rochelle, I would think.
Probably
figure out how to play without turning it over, because that was their undoing time and time again this year. Scored well, rebounded well, shot free throws magnificently.
Mm-hmm.
Good three-point shooting team.
Yep.
Defended without fouling.
Shot the ball well from the free throw in the three-point line against Vanderbilt.
They just had turnover issues. That's something they have to solve.
Yep. No, but I mean, take a look at the situation. You're headed to the Missouri Valley. Exciting opportunity there. Again, you're very excited about the recruiting class, and I think the transfer portal might play a factor for Murray State women's basketball in a really positive way because, again, you're headed to the Missouri Valley. Yeah. You're only taking a step up. Really, really quick note about women's basketball, too. I mean, at this point, what, you've got one, two scholarships now open? Mm-hmm. The possibility of a couple seniors maybe returning?
Right.
The depth is there, I think. And it's really interesting to see just kind of how that roster is now going to shake up moving forward.
It will a little bit. But you have the core back. Caitlin Young's going to be back. Again, a terrific recruiting class. As you said, you know, we'll see. Nothing official yet, but a couple others may be coming back as well. So,
want to give a super quick shout-out to Belmont women's basketball. Wow. Big win in their first round and then nearly got the big win the second round.
Yeah, they did. Was able to watch a little of the Oregon game. They were putting it up on the screen up in front of us there in Indianapolis. And the fantastic win for Belmont. And then to go to – and okay, here's my soapbox thing. Come on.
I'm listening.
Let's get Title IX. Let's get an equal opportunity for women to play. And on and on. Great. And then let's get them to the NCAA tournament and have them play on the other team's home floor. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
It is.
Fairness, equality, and then, not this weekend.
Yeah.
You're going to go to Tennessee and play them there. And they almost beat them.
And on a neutral floor, they might win. They win that game.
I think they do, too. You never know. Maybe not. Who knows? They might not have shot well on a neutral floor. But come on. You got to start doing – I mean, they did a lot of the things. They expanded the field, but you got to get rid of the home games. Yeah. You just got to get rid of that.
Yeah, I agree.
Come on, that's not fair. And I would say it if Tennessee had to go on the road and play somebody on their court. It doesn't matter who it is. That's not fair. If we're going to be fair and equitable, then let's be fair and equitable.
Oh, absolutely. I don't disagree at all. Not even in the remote slightest. Just a little touch there on women's basketball. So many things have happened just since you and I last spoke. And actually, you and I spoke right before Indianapolis. So, but just a hammer of 5 days. You take a look at the situation with baseball and softball for Murray State. Just a real quick nod there. You've got Murray State baseball that's 13-2 at home now, 0-4 on the road. That's probably something that Skirko's trying to address. But you're 13-6. Playing pretty well.
Yeah, the four losses on the road, Alabama, Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, I'm not complaining. Yeah, I'm just saying
it's tough to win those.
Yeah, tough to win those. I'm not complaining at all. I'm just saying, like, your two home losses, you split the series against Valparaiso 2-2. So that's absolutely terrific. And the interesting thing about that is Valparaiso's Missouri Valley baseball, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yes.
How about that? What timeliness for a series like that to appear on your schedule? I think that's actually terrific. That's good. You get a good taste of what your opponent's going to be like, and you played pretty well against them. A couple of quick key stats for them as I bring those up. You've got a situation where offense has been pretty good for Murray State. You're hitting .276 now after 19 games as a team, and furthermore, your team ERA is below 4. It's .396 with, of course, Jacob Pennington leading the way with 2 wins and a .140 ERA. You'll take that.
Yeah.
Considering, I believe, they were not picked to win the league, but picked second. Is that right?
I think they were picked second.
Pick second to finish in the Ohio Valley Conference. We shift quickly to softball. And, they don't remember what losing feels like.
Well, last year, they couldn't score. Great pitching. Oh, we couldn't score any runs. That problem's been solved.
They've won 9 in a row. They're 19-8. They were 10-8. They're 19-8 now. 3-0 in conference play. And I know the conference will bring its challenges. Certainly UT Martin coming up. SEMO will be a really, really tough matchup. Yeah, I mean, you know that there are certainly going to be some teams that give them a little bit of trouble. It's conference play, but you take a look at their stats, Neil, and as I bring those up, you have a pitching staff that doesn't give up runs at all. Your team ERA is 1.59.
Fantastic.
That's with Hannah James, mind you, the third best on the team with a 1.55 ERA.
What's up with you, Hannah? Come on.
7 complete games, Neil. 7 complete games.
Holy smokes.
We're looking at Nolan Ryan right here. Absolutely absurd. She has 86 strikeouts and 11 walks.
Great numbers.
Great. 8-1. 8-1 strikeout to walk ratio. That is absolutely incredulous, actually. That's absolutely incredulous. We shift very quickly as well. We do want to touch on a couple of NBA players. You guys know them pretty well. Some news on Ja Morant. And real quick, I actually want to ask you this, Neil. I meant to bring it up earlier. Do you think Ja Morant has any say in the next coach for Murray State men's basketball?
Well, I would hope they would at least call him, get his input. Because some of the guys that they're going to probably interview, he played for.
Yeah.
They were assistants. I think by all means, doesn't he seem to know a lot about basketball? Looks like he does to me. I would give him a call.
He knows a thing or two.
Yeah. So I don't have any problem contacting former players, but I mean, he's a little different than just a former player.
Right.
I mean, that's a little different input. So I would get his input 100%.
I'll be honest. I don't necessarily think he should have like the weighing factor.
No.
He's a player. He's not going
to
be here anymore.
I think out of respect, yeah, you got to see if he would like to talk to you. It's like, hey, we'd like to pick your brain on this a little bit.
And here's the other thing, too, about it. He is, I've been told, one of the premier donors for the program. And that's been obvious for the last 2 years.
And that's, honestly, that's a consideration that I'm sure that has to be taken into consideration. If you bring someone foreignly outside, will that continue? It's his money. He can do anything he wants to with it.
Absolutely.
He can give as much as he wants, or he doesn't have to give a penny.
Not at all. Yeah, you're totally right.
That is something that maybe has to be considered.
And his contributions mean everything.
Oh, they have.
Yeah.
And not just his monetary, but I mean just his social media stuff. And he shows up here at the university and works out with the guys. That's just amazing. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to do that, and he does.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to do any of it.
Like I said, it's his money. Doesn't ever have to give a penny, yet he already has. And will more, I'm sure.
Going back to Morant. What McMahon's part of it. But going back to Morant, a little bit of a knee injury. I don't necessarily think it's super concerning, but they're definitely taking it easy with him. He's played once in the last week. They just, as we podcast here, they just beat. ESPN's been there all day, giving them all the love. They spent all day interviewing guys and doing different shows and things like that. They just beat Brooklyn 132-120. And they withstood 80 points combined from Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys in double figures.
This was in Memphis, right?
In Memphis, they are 15-2 without Ja Morant. And I only say that not because Ja Morant shouldn't be in an MVP discussion, but that's how good this team is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Memphis is 50-23. To say that, by the way, in Ja Morant's third year, in which he's played a big part in their success this year and is in MVP discussion, don't think he'll win it. Unbelievable how good this team has become in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And all on youth. And then the other guy, Cameron Payne, tonight, just finished this game. Come from behind victory. They score 40 points in Minnesota's fourth quarter at Minnesota against the Minnesota Timberwolves, who, by the way, are 42-32. They might make the playoffs. They should make the playoffs, not the play-in. Cameron Payne took over in the fourth quarter, finished with 13 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 turnover.
That's a great game. They're getting everything they wanted from Cam.
Everything. I mean, absolutely everything. And you and I talked about this last week. Since then, his last three games, he has 13 points, 9 assists, 15.7 assists, and 6 points, 11 assists, and 7 rebounds. Those are his last three games. Oh, and they're all wins. They've won 5 in a row.
That's really the most important thing, because they get paid to get W's.
Yeah.
And he got 3 of them.
Yeah, right, the there. Numbers don't matter. It's the fact that they've gotten 3 W's. His last three games, he has 27 assists, 4 turnovers.
That's fantastic. He has come such a long way as a pro.
Unbelievable.
I'm so proud of him.
I mean, it's fantastic. He's averaging 9.5 assists in the month of March since he took over the
starting. He's a guy that it took him a little bit to figure it out, and he's figured it out.
That's right.
He puts up those numbers. He'll make money for a long time. I'm just really happy for him.
I am too. All right, Neil, we have, oh my gosh, so quickly, but so not so quickly, divulged into all these different topics. What's your thought of the day, my friend?
Thought of the day?
Yeah, what's your thought of the day?
I didn't know I was going to be pressed for a thought of the day. Is this a prison uniform? That's what I want to know.
No, that's my rain jacket.
Oh, actually. Sorry. It looked like something. I thought, Ed, is there something you need to tell me?
Yes, this is our last podcast together.
Or I thought maybe you had escaped.
I've escaped a mental institution.
Okay. All right.
That's for sure. Neil, it's been fun. It's been real, and it's been real fun. The next time we talk, maybe there's a new head coach. Maybe there isn't.
Well, unless it's after April 2nd or after April 8th, there will be somewhere in between 2nd and 8th.
That's true.
You can bet on that.
You're right about that. Yeah. Neil, appreciate it, man, as always, and looking forward to our next time together.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, man.